It's safe to say that nobody looks forward to the flu season. Regardless, the season is on the way. And experts say it's already started here in Wisconsin.
Here to give us a heads up on what we can expect this season and how best to protect ourselves is Nasia Safdar. She's the Medical Director for Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics and Associate Chief of Staff for Research at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital. Nasia, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. So the flu is already here in Wisconsin, you say. How widespread is it so far?
You know, I think it's been a slow start to the season. We're not seeing a widespread activity at the moment, but this is how it typically begins. So this actually would be a good time to start discussing preventive measures rather than when the season is fully underway. Mm.
So there's always some confusion about what's a cold and what's the flu. I think people toss around the term the flu a little bit too casually. How can we tell the difference and when we have the flu?
So the common cold, you know, is a very mild illness. You typically don't get very high fevers. You don't get the muscle aches. You don't get the headache. You might have a little sore throat. But the flu is something that people will say, you know, I was feeling perfectly well, and then all of a sudden I just felt awful. It's the only thing that, you know, if you're talking to somebody who's never taken a day off from work, well, if they get the flu, they will be taking those days off because it's just impossible to even get going. So it's not really a subtle illness. It hits you like a thunderclap and you feel really sick with it.
Mm. What are some of the symptoms?
So high fever, cough, and headache are the big ones. Many people will get sore throat. Some people, like we saw with the pandemic, will also get GI symptoms, but it's not a predominant feature of it. So the whole term, you know, stomach flu is really a misnomer because it's not really influenza when you're getting the nausea, vomiting that's associated with other viral infections. And then muscle aches is usually a predominant feature of it.
Do we know which strands of the flu are going around this year?
Well, I think it's early to say, just because activity is pretty low. But what's in the influenza vaccine is based on the best guess of people as they were thinking about what sort of strains should go in the vaccine. So season to season, the match of the vaccine with what's circulating really varies. But I think as it gets underway, we'll be able to get a better idea of that.
There are some changes to the flu vaccine this year. What are some differences that they've made to this year's vaccine?
Well, I think this is an exciting time for influenza vaccine development because we have a couple of new flu vaccines. There's one that is manufactured completely independent of chicken eggs. Most influenza vaccines have a requirement that they be developed in fertilized chicken eggs, which makes it very difficult, you know, causing production shortages because you have to depend on the supply of eggs. But one influenza vaccine is using recombinant technology and does not use eggs at all in its production. So that's a significant advance. Its effect seems to be similar to the other influenza vaccines that were already available. And so the egg allergy business doesn't apply anymore to this particular one. There is also a new high dose, which was also available last year, but it's called Fluzone High Dose. And that has more antigen in it than a regular flu vaccine. So the rationale for that is that as people get older, so age 65 or older, their ability to respond to the influenza vaccine becomes diminished. And this high-dose vaccine, which is more antigen, gives you presumably more protection, but definitely gives you more of an antibody response with really very few additional side effects. A little bit more pain is the only thing that's been reported, but it's pretty well tolerated. And then the last thing is that some influenza vaccines this season have four influenza viruses instead of three. So these are the quadrivalent vaccines. They have two influenza A viruses and two influenza B viruses, so expected to provide additional protection. One thing I should also mention is, you know, most influenza vaccines are administered, the ones that are inactivated are administered into the muscle as an intramuscular shot, which causes some pain and a risk for blood clot for people who might have bleeding disorders, for example. But there's another kind of flu vaccine, which is called an intradermal vaccine. So that just goes in the skin and not in the muscle, and would be an option for people that have concerns about getting intramuscular shots.
So you had mentioned earlier that in drug development that it's often a scientist's best guess as to which strains of the flu are going to be going around each year. How do scientists go about making those predictions?
So it's based upon what was circulating last year, the year before. So looking at, you know, both Southern Hemisphere data, because their seasons are obviously the complete opposite of ours. So looking at what was circulating there, what was circulating the year before, and then there's a large high-level committee that decides internationally and nationally what should go into the influenza vaccine, such that all the vaccines that are subsequently manufactured have the same, you know, types of strains in them.
Well, let's talk about who should be vaccinated and maybe who shouldn't be. Let's start there, actually. Is there anyone for whom the vaccine is not recommended?
Well, it's a really small group. You know, anybody who has had, there is an association between influenza vaccine and Guillain-Barré syndrome. So anybody who has had Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a neurologic disorder that developed in temporal relationship to when they got the vaccine, should never get the influenza vaccine again. It used to be that any egg allergy would be a contraindication, but now I think with these new production techniques, that is not so much not an absolute contraindication anymore, at least. And then anybody that has a severe anaphylactic reaction to any component of a vaccine should not get it. But that's really the very small minority of the population, and everybody over the age of 6 months should be vaccinated annually, with these rare exceptions that I've just said.
I'm sure you run into people who say, I'm perfectly fine and healthy. I have a strong immune system. I don't need to be vaccinated. What do you say to someone with that outlook?
Well, you know, I think we share the data with them. If you think about the pandemic, it really was the young, healthy people that were getting influenza and becoming very sick from it. So we share the data and we try to convince them based on the literature. But you're right, there are some people that will probably not want to get the influenza vaccine for one reason or the other. So our best strategy is to just share the safety, share the activity data with them, and then see if they'll change their mind.
Do you actually get the flu from the flu shot? Many people will say that they start experiencing some of the symptoms of flu after they've gotten vaccinated.
So the flu vaccine cannot give you, the inactivated flu vaccine cannot give you influenza. So the flu shot, because it's all inactivated vaccine. So the reasons why some people think they may have the flu is either it's coincidental. You know, a lot of viruses are circulating in that year, and you're certainly entitled to get any one of those other ones, which may be confused with influenza. Some people will get a low-grade fever and achiness at the arm site where they get the vaccine, and they may confuse that with influenza symptoms. But there isn't any way that you can get influenza from the vaccine that's the shot.
So are there any indicators so far about how bad the flu season will be this year?
Well, no, I think it certainly hasn't come in with a bang yet, so that at least is good. We're seeing the usual kind of slow rise. It usually peaks in January or February, and I think that's what we're likely to see. There was a concern early on in the season about, you know, not influenza necessarily, but other viruses, respiratory viruses that cause illnesses that could be confused with influenza. So more virulent types, like the MERS respiratory virus from Saudi Arabia, for example, that there was concern that it might come to the U.S. or be affecting people here. So that hasn't come to pass, which is really good. So I think hopefully this will be an influenza season, not worse than the usual.
So besides the flu shot, is there anything else we can or should do to protect ourselves?
Well, I think the mainstay is really the vaccine. One could say, you know, that you want to keep your distance from people who have influenza, but that's easier said than done because most of the time transmission will happen even before you get symptoms, and it's too late to really do that. So hand hygiene and respiratory etiquette helps against all viruses, really, including influenza. And then for healthcare workers especially, they should not be coming into work when they're sick so as to protect their patients from getting it.
Well, Nasia, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Nasia Safdar is the Medical Director for Infection Control at UW Hospital and Clinics and Associate Chief of Staff for Research at the William S. Middleton Memorial Veterans Hospital.